Welcome to Vital Connections On Air, a podcast brought to you by University of Minnesota Extension's Center for Community Vitality that explores the trends and topics important to communities and leaders throughout Minnesota. My name is Christy Kalibig, and I'm an Extension Educator for the Center for Community Vitality. And today we continue to explore Minnesota's workforce challenges by discussing the topic of succession planning, specifically business succession planning. And I'm excited to be joined by Kathy Anderson, who is a Community and Business Development Specialist and Economic Development Director with CEDA. Thank you for joining me today, Kathy.
Thank you, Christy.
So let's start by having you tell us a little bit about what CEDA is and the area that you serve.
So CEDA is actually a private 501c3. We're a nonprofit agency, and we're headquartered in Chatfield. We have anywhere from 15 to 20 employees, and we serve numerous communities in southeastern Minnesota, in northern Iowa, northern Minnesota, and western Minnesota. And our primary duties are to, most of the time, we're community business development specialists, and many of us are economic development directors. We're the staff for the volunteer boards. We do loan packaging, strategic planning, grant writing, grant administration. We staff the economic development board, as mentioned, and we help with their micro enterprise loans. We do housing development assistance and our revolving loan funds. There's also a piece of that where we help with the community marketing. And so we do a variety depending on the assets and needs in each community. And I'm one of those associates, and I'm in three communities, the city of Eota, the city of Spring Valley, and the city of Preston, and specifically succession planning was an item that was tackled in the city of Spring Valley.
Okay. And so these communities, just for folks that are tuning in and trying to get their bearings, you're located down in southeastern Minnesota.
Correct.
And you said that you tackled succession planning in Spring Valley. What brought that topic to the forefront as you were doing your work in that community?
So as a new Economic Development Authority staff person, I wanted to get to know the different businesses in the community. And that is done easily through a business retention and expansion study. They call them BREE studies. And when I went out to the different businesses, I was getting a real feeling. I was getting a feeling that businesses were they thought that they would just close and sell their building. They weren't seeing the value of planning ahead to sell their business with their building and how I could step in and help them with all their hard work of being a small business person actually get a larger return on the investment of time and human capital that they put into their running their business. And when I saw that, I just happened to be able to go to a SMIF, it's called Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation meeting for older workers leading success. And that really led me into the different tools that were out there to help older workers along with the plans. Wrote a grant asking if we could try a pilot program, and they requested that we had some partners. And so my partners were RCTC, the Spring Valley Senior Living, and the Economic Development Authority in Spring Valley.
Did you get any idea from these business owners why they didn't think of selling the business but were more focused on the building?
You know, I would just have to speculate on that. I didn't actually ask them directly why, but circumstances in the economy that time, there were people were older, we have an older demographic, and they just felt like, okay, I've cut hair this long, I'm going to just stop cutting hair and I'm going to sell my building. Or on a larger scale, we had a bank president that passed away, and the wife inherited that, running that business, and succession planning was needed. It was requested by the board. Or on a completely different scale, we had a car dealer that in the case, I don't know if folks can remember this back thus far, but all of a sudden the smaller car dealerships were closing and they were leaving and they wouldn't provide the inventory for the smaller car dealerships. So sometimes those things come on sudden as well. They're not always something you hadn't planned for it, and so suddenly you're faced with, now I run this business, or now I can't have cars, or I can't have appliances anymore because I'm too small and they won't give me the inventory I need. So sometimes it's sudden.
Right, right. That's really interesting. And so as you said, you got your partners together and you wrote a grant. And what type of programming were you looking at specifically to bring to Spring Valley?
It was interesting. We didn't pick any one particular business. We just offered the concept and got a response that we'd have 5 or 6 different businesses interested. There was a variety of businesses. And then our education partner, Rochester Community College, has a workforce development section. And my Spring Valley Senior Living actually connected me with that workforce development person and said, hey, we're doing some things, some educational pieces with these folks. You know, talk to them. Well, wouldn't you know, they had just finished a pilot on succession planning. And so they had some materials and they had a counselor that we could tap into with our grant funds.
Timing.
Right, right. It was, you nailed it. And then the other part of it was the willingness. To gain that willingness in a small town, or a small town of 2,500 people, the residents and the business owners, you know, there could be a feeling or a concept like, oh, succession planning, you're going to go out of business, or what's happening? Are you sick? You know, what's happening? Why are people participating in this? And actually, it was just the opposite. It turned out to really strengthen and bond them together. We went through an approach where we did a kickoff meeting, and one of the pilots from the Rochester Community College workforce pilot program, they actually came and spoke and made, and it happened to be a banker, a local banker in the area, so people knew him. They probably didn't know that their organization went through succession planning, but he was able to share his experience and how much they liked the consultant that was hired, and so it really brought everyone together. So that was another important step, was to have that kickoff. We had a luncheon together where we were all together and had the speaker.
Am I understanding this correct, that you kind of, as you went through this process, you used almost a 4-step model. Is that right?
You're right. You're going to test me. This was a while back, so I don't have all the steps in front of me. But yes, we did the organizing and the planning, and then we actually brought a consultant into the community, and she was able, because there was 5, she was able to meet with them, even though there would be travel involved. She was from the Twin Cities. She was able to meet with several at a time, and she already had a format to meet with them. And so she did private meetings with the employees themselves and with the owners, and really came up with some strategic ideas for them. Now, we did leave the implementation towards the end, and we threw a celebration at the end of all of this where I brought in attorneys, brought in accountants, brought in other workforce development staff, just so that they would get a feel for, now I need to do the legal part, or I wanted to consult my accountant on this. And so they were introduced to the tools so that they could finish with all of the knowledge that they had gained from working with the consultant.
All right. So before you brought the business coach in, that was when you had this session where the area banker shared his experience. Was there anything else that was a part of that, or was it just really getting people comfortable with the idea that it's okay to come together around this topic?
Yes, you've got it. It's basically making people feel comfortable in the participation, that there's not a stigma, that, you know, this is to strengthen the business community and to allow young people to step in and take over so we can retain those businesses in our community. So as mentioned, retention is just as important, and retention and succession planning go hand in hand for economic development, in my opinion. And so we were just making people comfortable. Then they had their one-on-ones with the consultant. It was very private. Everything was done very privately, and I think that everyone felt comfortable because of that.
And did you learn anything surprising, either from that first initial meeting or as the consultant was going through her interviews, that helped you to understand the needs of the business owners better?
Yeah, I think one of the pieces for me that was surprising, our local newspaper went through succession planning, and he had said in his testimonial that he had spoke with a friend at a reunion, and the friend had said, well, what will you be doing next? And it really made him think about, what will I be doing next? And so then when the succession planning was offered, he went back to that conversation and thought, I need to participate. And then, of course, we had this transition going on between a father and a son to take over the business. And in that situation, you know, there's a lot of other employees that are at that business. And so finding out how we can retain those other employees as that transition goes on, very important. And like I said, just that feeling that you can involve your employees, especially for the bank, who's going to be the next bank president, what do I even want to be a bank president, how do your employees really feel? I felt like people got a really good sense once they participated in that. And the other thing that I would mention too is I had an electrician that went through this, and he had been thinking about it ahead of time, but every time he reached for tools, it was so expensive, and he could not fathom spending that much money as a small business owner on succession planning. And, you know, he's training in new employees and losing them and thinking they might be the next one to take over. And so having a coach to help him through that process was important. So there was a lot to learn.
And I think that is such a great point that, you know, sometimes when you are a small business owner, it's hard to think about the money that you need to invest in the process. And so you were able to offer this to the participants at no cost through the grant?
We did have a small cost, under $200, just so that they would be invested in the process. It helped with the grant match as well. And again, it was just to be invested in the process, but it was a very little compared to some of the numbers that, like, my electrician had shared with me. He saw numbers like $5,000 and $10,000, and they were able to get this business coach for several months for under $200, and then they could work with their attorney and their accountant to put the rest of the pieces together.
And so what are some of the things that you have seen following this program? Have you seen some changeover within the businesses, or what can you share about that?
Well, I'm glad to share two things. Number one, it was a pilot program. It had never been done before, so we were really just kind of going with the guidelines we had written in the grant. And every business that we are discussing is still in business and running strong and has different people with different roles in it at this point. And one of the other things is we were able to hand the program over. So my board, my economic development board, had said, hey, I think there's a few more businesses that would be interested in doing this. And we actually had two other ones. I won't share what they were because they were pretty specific, but two other ones that went through it. But the way they were able to go through it is I asked the county if our county would be willing to write a grant for succession planning and then offer the program through the county, and 11 more businesses in the county then went through succession planning using our model, and two of the two more businesses within the community then went through that process. And one of the wonderful things is we saw one of those or both of those businesses sell but continue on. And that is exciting when you're in a town of 2,500 people and you want to see those businesses retained.
Right. And so when you say that there are new people in positions and that those businesses are still operating, what do you think helped make those transitions happen? Was it tools that you provided or just having a better understanding of how to move forward?
Sure. Thinking back on both of the businesses that sold, both of those were able to do that on their own with the coaching. It was tough because one of them had a family member, and I think the parents had kind of hoped that the family member would take over, but it really wasn't the direction once they had the coaching that they felt they were wanted to go. So they were able to put their business up for sale and sell it. And I also feel that when I look at some of the others, the first five that we did, you know, it was just those folks were empowered by the coach. None of them needed additional tools to continue on other than what we did at the end with the celebration at the end where we had different speakers and we had the different folks come in with their specialty. They just needed to continue on and meet with their professionals, their accountants, and their attorneys, and also their accountants. I think that's really helpful in the strategic part of it. But the coach herself, Connie, did an excellent job. Each one of them was very happy with her.
I know that we've focused mainly on the supports that you offered to the business owners who were aging or wanting to get out of their business. Was there any support offered to those who maybe came into the business or the new leaders, new owners?
Yeah, exactly. So in the case of the bank, it really helped clear up, you know, whose roles and where they were going with those roles. And when it came to the father and son, to have the younger son come in and take over the business and the other staff there, that really helped with the transition. Each person they were heard by this consultant. Owners could take all of that into consideration. You know, you don't want to lose a key employee because you've just, you know, your son, who's maybe younger than they are even, is coming in to take over the business. So. And again, like with the newspaper, it's still open, still same owner, but it helps them look for those key employees or hire those key employees that might be the person gets the succession of the business.
So what are some opportunities or challenges that you have been able to see as you went through this process within Spring Valley?
Challenges, you know, I don't think we could have done it without the grant and without our educational partners. So we were just very fortunate at that time that it was an initiative that the Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation found important. They knew that there was the change in baby boomers getting older and how do we transition businesses and how do we educate older employees. We did another portion at that time. We also helped older workers learn to navigate the computer for education. So we were actually doing a couple things at that same time. But I think financially that was our biggest challenge, is that we just wanted to make sure that we could cover the cost of the consultant and do it in a way that we could maximize the use of her time financially. And the same thing happened when we turned it over to the county. They were able to do this because of the grant funds and maximizing her time when she came down.
What advice would you have to share with other communities who might be thinking that they need to do something in their community to start the conversation or provide support to business owners?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think that the BREEZE study is most important. Assign someone in the community to go out and talk with as many of the business owners as you can. they'll get a sense to
business retention and expansion survey, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and I would encourage them to use the questions in there and then get their own sense. Number one, they also should take a look at their demographics. I mean, in one of my communities, the median age is much lower than it is in Spring Valley. So when you see that median age and you compile that with the BREE study that you do and how you get a feeling for that, you'll know if indeed succession planning might be an important process in helping your local business owners. It's easier to retain a business than to find a new one.
That is very true. Besides having the grant, tell me about those partnerships that you created. How important was it to make sure that you had the right people at the table in order for this program to move forward and be successful?
Had the business coach or consultant, Connie, not been well received in the community, not had the demeanor that she had, people not felt that this was as private as it was, I think that could have been a stumbling block. But the fact that she was private, also the fact that she just has a wonderful demeanor about herself. She's done this for a long time. She knows what kind of questions to ask, and she's done it with large corporations. So she can work from the smallest of businesses all the way up to the largest of businesses. And so our educational partner, Rochester Community College, Abby Hellickson was at the time the person that helped, they had that tool already in place. And so we were very fortunate that they had vetted a very good business consultant.
As the program expanded to be a countywide program, first off, remind me which county that is, and then also how closely did they follow your model, or were there any changes or, you know, additions that they made?
So they did do it a little bit differently. So Spring Valley is located in Fillmore County, and they took the exact pilot program that we wrote. However, they did not do the first and last steps. They didn't do the come together and have someone speak. The program was slightly familiar to folks already, and they knew that they could call and talk to anyone that's been through the process at that point. And then secondly, at the end, they didn't do that celebration. But when you're in a small community versus a county, those steps were important for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And was there any differences in outcomes that you might be aware of between how you did it in Spring Valley and how Fillmore County did it?
No, I can't really comment on that. Sorry about that. Other two that went through it, and they had success, and they thanked me. One of them had never wanted to get involved with city government or any types of programs that we could offer before, and so it was surprising that they went through it, and at the same time, the outcome was excellent for them, and it made me very happy.
Oh, that's great. That is just wonderful.
People work really hard when they own their own small business, and anything that I could do to maximize their profits when they go to sell or keep their business thriving and their employees happy, it was a great experience for me as well.
That is great. And I'm glad that you added that, because we often don't think about your experience as the specialist in the situation. And so I think that that's great, because if you aren't enjoying it or feeling good about it, it's hard to keep moving forward as well.
Mm-hmm. At the end, the Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation, which provided $20,000 in funding for this, they actually had us come out and present on succession planning, and brought two of our partners, and we did sort of a trifecta presentation explaining each one of our roles, and I know it was well received, and we did get some questions after that on how their communities or their businesses could go through the succession planning, and I do believe that the consultant got some additional work after that as well. So it's nice to see it at the level of a city. It's nice to see it at the level of the county, and then to share it with the region like we did at the end.
Right. And I appreciate you sharing it with us here on our podcast so more people can hear about it. So what do you think is next for you in Spring Valley?
Well, Spring Valley is actually was chosen through Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation and work with the University of Minnesota Extension to participate in REV, which is called Rural Entrepreneur Ventures. And we'll be in a 3-year program right now that's just started. And with that, we are looking at things like an incubator program where we can take some of the spaces that are vacant right now and look at ways, feasibility to maybe reduce rents, provide office furniture, find out what the tools and education are to bring entrepreneurs into the community and keep them, help them be successful. So we're looking at how to build new entrepreneurs, continue to keep our existing businesses. And then we're, for just the next 6 to 8 months, we're participating in a community event called Making It Home through the University of Minnesota Extension Office. And Making It Home is a community marketing initiative, kind of looking at the assets that are in the community, what might be missing, how do we welcome, retain, and draw in new residents.
You have a lot going on there, Kathy.
Hey, we do, and I'm a one-day-a-week employee, so how do you like that?
It sounds awesome, and I look forward to maybe having you back on the podcast again to talk about REV. I think that that's a very exciting program, and I'm glad to hear that you're participating in it.
Yeah, and I have to say that I have to give my board a lot of credit because succession planning was new, and they had to put money into it themselves to help this along. And then if you look at REV, we're putting a lot of human capital and time into REV, the Rural Entrepreneur Venture. So the fact that they're open-minded and willing to be the first to try something, be part of a pilot program, says a lot for them, the fact that they want their community to flourish and grow, and they're willing to try things that maybe no one else has tried before. And we might not do it perfect the first time, but we can learn from that too.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kathy, for joining me for the podcast. And we will make sure to share a link to CETA's website so folks can learn more about you. But thank you so much for sharing the exciting happenings in Spring Valley.
Oh, thank you, Christy, very much.
Thank you to Kathy Anderson from CETA, Community Economic Development Associates, for joining us for this episode. To learn more about CETA and the work they do, visit cedausa.com. We will continue to feature information on this important topic and others on the University of Minnesota Extension's Center for Community Vitality webpage, which can be found at extension.umn.edu/community. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date on new research and resources for communities and those who lead them. We're going to be taking a little break from the podcast, but plan to be back in June with new guests and topics. We hope that you will join us then for another episode of Vital Connections on Air.